This morning's scripture lesson comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 56, and we're picking up exactly where we left off last week. So Elizabeth has just spoken to Mary and just called her the Blessed One. And Mary responds. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for God has looked with favor on the lowliness of this servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is God's name. God's mercy is for those who fear God from generation to generation. God has shown strength with the arm and has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. God has helped God's servant Israel in remembrance of God's mercy according to the promises that God made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to God, Abraham's descendants forevermore." And Mary remained with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned to her home. These are our sacred stories.
Thank you.
in community with Elizabeth, and stunned, yes, in the midst of Roman occupation and evil and corruption, Mary sings. Not a lullaby, not a gentle Christmas carol, Mary sings a song of revolution, a freedom song, a survival song, a justice song, a song of hope that connects her to generations who have gone before, singing revolution, and to generations who continue to birth radical hope now and always. Mary sings, "My soul magnifies the Lord. God has shown strength with the arm and has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly and has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty." She sings amid fear and violence. She sings of God's justice, of hope during oppression. She sings of a world where hope replaces despair, where children don't fear violence or hunger, where all people are valued and respected. Mary sings. Mary sings a dangerous song that is given voice over and over by those brave enough to be partners with God in creating justice. Music and singing played a critical role in inspiring, mobilizing, and giving voice to the civil rights movement. "We shall overcome, I shall not be moved, this little light of mine, if I had a hammer. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom." These songs rallied, inspired courage, provided context, gave hope, and united people from every walk of life. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "The freedom songs give the people new courage and a sense of unity. I think they keep alive a faith, a radiant hope in the future, particularly in our most trying hours." "The songs we sang together created for us a fortress of courage," Bruce Hartford notes in The Power of Freedom Songs. He continues, "In church-shaking mass meetings and tiny gatherings in sharecropper shacks, on voter registration lines and foot-sore dusty roads, on marches and freedom rides and sit-ins, and night running cars with the Klan on our tail, and in dank jail cells, the songs uplifted and sustained us." Those who worked for justice and equality during the civil rights movement were men and women who worked and worried, who cared for children and the elderly, who had plenty of reasons not to get involved. They were just people, people who heard the echoes of Mary's song of freedom and joined their voices in the singing. They added their voices, their feet, their passion, their willingness to stand up and be heard. Singing can be an act of resistance. The protesters in Leipzig in 1989 knew this well. For several months preceding the fall of the Berlin Wall, the citizens of Leipzig gathered on Monday evenings by candlelight around St. Nikolai Church, the church where Bach composed so many of his cantatas. They gathered to sing. And over 2 months, their numbers grew from a little more than 1,000 people to more than 300,000, over half the citizens of the city, singing songs of hope and protest and justice, until their song shook the powers of their nation and changed the world. Later, when someone asked one of the officers of the East German secret police why they didn't crush this protest like they had so many others, the officer replied, "We had no contingency plan for song." I think Mary and Elizabeth knew this well, that there is no contingency plan for song. I think they knew just how ridiculous their situation was. Two women, one too old to bear a child and one so young she was not yet married, yet called to smuggle change into the world. And they probably knew how little account the world would pay them, tucked away in the hill country of Judea, far from the courts of power and influence. They certainly knew how hard life was under Roman oppression. Yet when faced with the long odds of their situation, they did not retreat or apologize or despair or keep silent. They sang. They sang of their confidence in the Lord's promises to upend the powers that be, reverse the fortunes of an unjust world, to lift up all those who are oppressed. They sang. We lived in South Carolina in the early years of my elementary school days. My school there was full of singing. I thought "We Shall Overcome" and "Keep Your Eyes on the Prize" were school songs. We sang all the time, walking to class in every assembly. I was shocked when we moved to Tennessee and "Lift Every Voice and Sing" was no longer part of my school day. Those songs, those freedom songs from the civil rights movement, continue to get me through. Freedom songs have staying power. Mary's freedom song has been passed from generation to generation, giving hope and rallying us to action. Freedom songs call to us to stand together for justice and freedom. They're pledges made to stand side by side, to endure the road ahead, the struggle, the hardship. And the beat calls to us again today. There are songs we need to sing. Our voices are needed. Too many still only dream of equality. There are songs that need our voices. Songs about racism and voting laws and the ever-increasing gap between the rich and those who live in poverty. Songs about the criminal justice system and about gun violence. Songs about violence against women, and songs about peace and love and hope. There are songs that we must sing. Mary sings of God's mercy, promising that God will lift up the lonely, the downtrodden, the oppressed. And so we take up her song. We sing her song this coming week as we mark 5 years since those 20 children were slaughtered in their school. We sing her song this day as we raise our voices. We raise our willingness to fight for her vision of justice and peace. Mary sings in the present tense. She doesn't sing of the past. Nor does she sing of the future. God has shown strength in the arm and has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly and filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. God has scattered the proud, not God will. God has brought down the powerful and lifted up the lowly, not at some future time. Some unknown, distant reality. God has, right now. God has filled the hungry. Now. 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 Not because this vision has been accomplished. Not because the work is done. But now, because Mary is part of the realization. Mary is included in God's history of justice, the God of Israel, the one who has been siding with the oppressed since the days of Egypt, the one who has been making and keeping promises since the time of Abraham and Sarah and Hagar. Mary sings of now because she's part of the vision. She's part of the work. She's not singing of some future hope. She's singing of hope now. Not that the work is finished, rather that it is begun. It is happening. We cannot leave the work of justice for some future tense, for some other time and some other people, for some future season. Mary sings to us that the time is now. No more waiting. Mary's song is action. It's work. It's hope right here and right now. This song, Mary's song, is the longest speech placed on the lips of any woman in the whole New Testament. It is a freedom song. I pray to God that Mary's song might ring in our ears, that it will call to us to disrupt the hold that violence has on our world. She sings of all children safe from violence. She sings of everyone having enough to eat. She sings of an end to greed and oppression. She sings of hope now, and we must join her. All are fed as we share our resources. All receive justice as we do the work of justice. The earth is healed as we do the healing. In Luke's Christmas story, Mary begins the singing, but the song, instead of stopping, the song grows and new verses are added. Zechariah sings when his son John is born. He sings of a way of peace. The angels sing of peace and goodwill on the earth when they share their good news of great joy with the shepherds. And Simeon sings his song of farewell once he has seen God's promise to Israel kept and the Christ child. Mary starts the singing, and the song is taken up and carried on and passed from generation to generation. In 1960, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "There's a little song we sing in our movement down in the South. I don't know if you've heard it. It's become a theme song, 'We Shall Overcome.' Though I join hands so often with students and others behind jail bars singing it, 'We Shall Overcome.' Sometimes we'd have tears in our eyes when we joined together to sing it, but we decided to sing it, 'We shall overcome.' Before this victory is won, some will have to be thrown into jail, but we shall overcome. Don't worry about us. Before the victory is won, some of us will lose jobs, but we shall overcome. Before the victory is won, some of us will have to face physical death. Physical death is the price that some must pay to free their children from a permanent psychological death. We shall overcome. Before the victory is won, some will be misunderstood and called bad names and dismissed as rabble-rousers and agitators, but we shall overcome. And with this faith, we will go out and adjourn the councils of despair and bring new light into the dark chambers of pessimism. And we will be able to rise from the fatigue of despair to the buoyancy of hope. Songs of praise, songs of deliverance, songs of mercy and love. It's time to hear the music again. It's time to raise our voices. My soul magnifies the Lord. God has shown strength with the arm and has scattered the proud in their thoughts. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly and filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe we shall. We shall live in peace. Amen.